Hello, family. This is Ethan, and today I'm going to be reading for October 8th. Nehemiah rebuilds the wall. While Ezra is proceeding with the revitalization of the law in Israel, a man soon to be his closest associate is back in the Persian palace at Susa, in the position of the king's cupbearer. That may not sound like a probable stepping stone to political greatness, or even a very noteworthy position at all, but considering the fact that many kings have met their deaths by poisoning, being a royal cupbearer is a position of great trust. The man who holds that position in Artaxerxes' house is a Jew named Nehemiah. The relationship between Artaxerxes and Nehemiah is evidently much closer than one might normally expect. It is both a compliment to Nehemiah and a good insight into the character of Artaxerxes. It has been some 14 years since Artaxerxes authorized Ezra to lead the second group of exiles back to Jerusalem. In the interim, the further construction of the city and its wall has been hampered by a number of problems, apparently including sabotage by those who wish to see Israel remain weak. Israel's principal opponents are certain secular-minded and fearful nobles, as well as Sanballat and other leaders of Samaria, who still harbor resentment from the time that Zerubbabel refused their help in building the temple. Now, in 445 BC, a report of this delay comes to Nehemiah through one of his brothers who has just arrived from Palestine. The report so upsets Nehemiah that Artaxerxes notices his sadness and inquires as to its cause. When Nehemiah explains his concern, Artaxerxes agrees to appoint Nehemiah as temporary governor and commissions him to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. It takes little time to see that Nehemiah is a man of action. He immediately travels to Jerusalem, assesses the situation firsthand, devises an ingenious plan for working on the wall, sidesteps his opponents, and completes his primary mission within 6 months of receiving his commission from the king. Here's how it all happens. News from Jerusalem. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hechaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came to Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, "O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man.' I was cupbearer to the king in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes. When wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, 'Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart.' I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said to me, What is it you want? When I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my fathers are buried, so that I can rebuild it. Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, How long will your journey take, and when will you get back? It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah? And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so that he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, by the temple, and for the city wall, and for the residence I will occupy? And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my requests. So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night I went out through the valley gate toward the Jackal Well and Dung Gate, examining walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on toward the Fountain Gate and the King's Pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through, so I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work. Then I said to them, You see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me, and what the king had said to me. They replied, Let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. The Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard about this. They mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you are doing? They asked. Are you rebelling against the king? I answered them by saying, The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim I answered them by saying, The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. Eliashib the high priest and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zakur, son of Imri, built next to them. The fish gate was built by the sons of Hezanah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hekaz, repaired the next section. Next to him, Meshulam, son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel, made repairs. And next to him, Zedek, son of Bana, also made repairs. The next section was repaired by men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. The Jeshana gate was repaired by Joadah, son of Pesiah, and Meshulam, son of Bozodea. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Next to them, repairs were made by men from Gibeon and Mizpah, Melatiah and Gibeon and Jadon of Meronoth, places under the authority of the governor of Trans-Euphrates. Next to them, repairs were made by men from Gibeon and Mizpah, Melatiah of Gibeon and Jadon of Meronoth, places under the authority of the governor of Trans-Euphrates. Uziel, son of Harahiah, one of the goldsmiths, repaired the next section, and Hananiah, one of the perfume makers, made repairs next to that. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Rephaiah, son of Hur, ruled of a half-district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section. Adjoining this, Jediah, son of Horamath, made repairs opposite his house, and Hittush, son of Hashbniah, made repairs next to him. Melchijah, son of Hiram, and Hashub, son of Peheth Moab, repaired another section of the Tower of the Ovens. Shalom, son of Helahesh, ruler of half-district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. And that's it for the reading for October 8th.